with the L.A. dog.
Watch him slide in the home and hit the ball at the park. This is L.A. They see me coming from the wrong way. And it's just gonna be a long day. Hey, and we don't really care what the haters say. We a problem. Los Angeles Dodgers. No front in the flogging. Scoreboard thick, digging all in the margin. You don't want this smoke, that's worth the soda. I've been working so hard, sweat drip like water. Hate batter, batter, hate batter, batter up. Them boys trying to get me out the bullpen. Cause they know I'm about to run it, let's do it then. Umpire looking at me with the stare down. The fans in the stand like we here now. Go on, put your hands up cause we here now. And if you're repping LA, let me hear you now. Let's go Dodgers, let's go. Let's go
Dodgers. Let's go Dodgers. Well, with me playing this song, you know, that means only one thing. It means we're going to be having a series with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Welcome to the Friar Phil Show, second one of the season, and it's good to have you here. You know, I really can't think of a time in the past few years where I felt like the team was really, really ready to face a team like the Los Angeles Dodgers and maybe at least win one or two out of the games. I mean, they took on the Atlanta Braves, which are the defending world champions, and we split that series. We just beat up on the Reds, but everybody apparently is beating up on them. Los Angeles did as well. But I really feel like our team is in a position to really take on the Dodgers. And I've got Nick, who you met last season, on the phone with me. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Dodgers. Going to talk a little bit about the upcoming series over the weekend. How you doing, Nick?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Phil?
Well, pretty good, pretty good. People don't know it, you know, listening to this on Thursday. But we're recording this on a Wednesday right after I just got home from the sweep of the Cincinnati Reds, which I guess wasn't a hard thing to do, but it felt good.
Oh, anytime you get a sweep against anybody in baseball, you got to feel good about it, even if it is expected. I mean, you still got to execute it. So, you know, anytime you get a sweep, you got to feel good about it.
I just enjoyed making Tommy Pham look sad. Like Manny did I was just telling you off the air, you know, about what happened the first two days, Monday and Tuesday, where Manny answered back and hit a home run, and we just happened to have somebody on base, and both nights it was a two-run home run answering Pham's one run. So I could just see that guy making faces and grimacing and everything else. I've never been a big Tommy Pham fan while he was here with the Padres, and certainly I'm not now that he's with Cincinnati.
Yeah, Tommy Pham, he seems like a guy that's really easy to not like. He just doesn't seem like a likable dude.
Yeah. At all.
I've heard him one time in an interview, and I was just like, he just doesn't seem like a likable dude, you know. But yeah, you know, what do I know? He might be a likable dude to his teammates or whatever. So I mean, if he is, then that's all that matters. But
well, he doesn't come off like it, though. I mean, he was running his mouth. We had a collision at home plate yesterday. And that was the fault of the Cincinnati. I can't talk today. The Cincinnati Reds catcher, he stuck his head right in the path of Voit coming home. And Voit is not the little guy, you know. He's a pretty big person. So you're getting full speed Voit coming at you, and of course your head's going to be rattled a little bit. But Tommy Pham, I guess in the Cincinnati press, had some shit to say about, you know, it being bad and maybe an illegal slide and who knows. And well, we know because we checked it out with New York on the headsets, and they said everything was kosher.
Yeah. I mean, as long as they said everything was kosher, I mean, that was good. And yet, yeah, Luke Voigt, I wouldn't want to be, you know, standing on the tracks when the train's coming through because he's a big guy. So, I mean.
And I wouldn't put my head in front of the train.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn if it scores a run. I'm not going to put my head in front of Luke Voigt sliding in feet first, you know, spikes up. No, no, no. Call me a coward, but I like my head too much. And I don't want it rattled off, you know, during a ball game.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more with you on that one. So
how was your off season? Good?
You know, off season, you know, I mean, other than, you know, going through the lockout, which was, you know, more annoying than anything.
Yeah.
Everything was good with the, off season. And, obviously with the, Dodgers, there was some change, with them this year. We said goodbye to Corey Seager.
Bye, Corey.
I'm sure you're sad to see him go. He got a 10-year, $350 million contract with the Rangers, so I can't really fault him. I can't really hate him for that. I mean, I think any one of us would do the same thing. So, so we said goodbye to Corey Seager. We said goodbye to Max Scherzer, although we only had him for a half a year, and then apparently in the postseason he complained of dead arm. A lot of Dodger fans actually think he quit on us, but who knows. And so he's off with the New York Mets. I believe he actually pitched last night for them.
Yeah, he needs a good, so his arm isn't dead now.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't have dead arm now. So yeah, convenient, I know. We said goodbye to Kenley Jansen, who is now with the Braves. I believe you saw them the last series before the Cincinnati series. I think you might have seen him come in.
Yeah, we did.
He looks really weird in a Braves uniform. He actually got a save against us last night. Speaking of weird things, I don't know what's weirder, though, him in a Braves uniform or Jock Peterson in a Giants uniform. I can't fathom this at all. But,
and we know how much you like the Giants.
Oh, yeah. I love Halloween. I mean, you know, I love the orange and black.
If anybody was around last season when I had Nick on, he explained that he lives up near Sacramento, up in that area. So he's not right here in L.A. or San Diego. So he has the Giants fans, and then he doesn't like the Angels either. So those are like two teams that annoy him. And so it must have annoyed you with Jock Peterson going to the Giants.
Yeah, I was when that happened, I was kind of numb. I didn't like know what to do with myself. I was like, I know he grew up in Palo Alto, which is in the Bay Area. So I can understand him saying that he's going home and everything like that. That's fine and dandy. But I mean, isn't there kind of an unwritten rule here? It's like when Sergio Romo put on a Dodger uniform. That only happened for half a season. Okay. He realized that is what's going to work out. Mm-hmm. So, I'm in the heart of Giants country. So last season was very, very frustrating because the Dodgers had 106 wins and were only in first place for probably about 2 days. And then we ended up having to play the Giants in a 5-game series, which probably took years off my life. But but we ended up getting the win in game 5. And, it's funny because somebody asked me over the offseason, how come like the Braves aren't getting more love for being champions? Why aren't anybody like talking about them as like world champions or going into this defending world champions? And I wondered the same thing. And I was like, okay, I figured it out. It's because everybody knows that Giants Dodgers 5-game series, that was the real World Series right there.
Ah, yeah.
Because ratings did kind of tail off after that too. So, but that five game series, and we knew where this was all headed in July. They were going to play each other, just who was going to be the division champ and who was going to have to play in the one game wild card playoff. Turned out the Dodgers had to go the long road, even though they won 106 games, which tied a franchise record. And then they played the five game series and won game five. And honestly, with the Dodgers, I think by the time we got to the National League Championship Series to play the Braves, injuries and, you know, the long season, everything like that, and spending 6 months trying to catch the Giants and everything like that, I think they were just out of gas. But at the same time, though, you have to look at it like this: is the Braves did play better, and they deserve to go on the World Series, and they won the World Series. So I you know.
Yeah, in that case, it did. I'm just not really into all these expanded playoffs, and now they're going to expand it even more, and that's just to get more television revenue. It's not to make the game better or make it more interesting. That's all bullshit.
Bullshit. I agree with you on that.
It's just to make more money off of television revenues. And pretty soon we're going to be having the goddamn playoffs going into Christmas and stuff like the freaking NBA does. You know, it seems like basketball never ends. It does end at one point, but then it starts up again. You just can't get rid of that goddamn shit.
Right, right. Yeah, and with the NBA. The playoffs go 2 months in the NBA.
It seems a lot longer than that.
Yeah, because it starts in the middle of April, and then the NBA finals conclude in mid-June. The only reason it might seem later, like last year, was because the season started later last year, and so the NBA finals actually went into July.
That's why. But still, it's a lot. Yeah. You know, I may be just old school. Just maybe old, you know, and and I remember, you know, back before we had the collective bargaining and, you know, the people would go for the salary, you know, at this team or that team, and nobody stayed on the same team anymore. And then with these playoffs, it's just something just doesn't seem right to me. Somebody that ends up in third place that year in that division doesn't deserve to go to the goddamn World Series.
Oh, I agree.
But that happens. But like I said, Major League Baseball doesn't give a shit about that. They just care about the bottom line and how much money they'll make from national TV revenue, local TV revenue. And like I said, we're going to have playoffs going into Christmas.
Or at least until Thanksgiving, anyway, seems like.
Forget football. You'll have the World Series during Thanksgiving.
Right. I mean, with another team, so that's three wild cards to go along with three division winners. So that's 12 teams instead of the 10 last year. And let's face it, like when we say 10 last year or the previous years, the two wild card teams, they played each other in a one game playoff. I don't really consider the loser of the wild card game to have made the playoffs. So technically, it was really, honestly, if you want to think about it, it was eight teams. Which seemed about right, because I don't want extra teams going to the playoffs because it cheapens the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my thought process on it. And I would like to still think that winning the division still matters. Whereas, like now, I guess from what I was reading the other day, because I honestly didn't even know what the I didn't even know what the bracket would look like. So I guess the team with the best record, I'll just say like in the National League. So the team with the best record in the National League and the team with the second best record in the National League that are division champions get a first round bye. And the third division champion will face the third wild card team in a best of three, and same thing with the first wild card team playing the second wild card team. It just seems weird to me.
Almost have to take notes while somebody's explaining that.
Right. No, exactly. That's why I tried to explain it the best I could.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Oh, you did. You did. I'm just saying it's it's getting complicated now. You know, for a sport that's pretty uncomplicated at times, they're making it very complicated. So let's go back to the Dodgers and what exists now as the Dodgers team. What do y'all have going on that's good, and what's going on that's not so good with the Dodgers this season so far?
Well, in case people were living under a rock, the Dodgers did acquire Freddie Freeman before the season started. So,
yes.
But I thought I would throw that out there for you, just in case, you know, somebody was living under a rock. He's been really good with us so far, even though, like, his old team, we just took 2 out of 3 from the Braves, and it was emotional for him, as it, you know, naturally as you would think it would be. I mean, the Dodgers have to go back to Atlanta in June. Just think how emotional that's going to be for him.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. So he's being Freddie Freeman. You know, he's hitting, I believe he's around 333 right now. He's got a couple of homers. He's hitting in the 2-hole. And as far as anybody else that we acquired, we acquired a pitcher named Andrew Heaney, who hadn't had very much success with either the Angels or the Yankees. Has had 2 starts with us, going 6 innings, and hasn't given up a run yet this year. However, he just went on the injured list yesterday, or this morning, actually. So,
wouldn't you know it?
Of course, right? Of course. So you will not be seeing him this weekend.
Well, that's good, I guess, if he hasn't given up a run. How's Arias doing? I heard he had, like, some trouble the last time he was out, and we're starting with him on Friday, I think. We start with him when we start the Dodgers series.
He had a bad first game, and it was at Coors Field, where obviously where pitchers go to die. He had a bad first game. He only went 2 innings that first start. But his last start that he had, which was against the Reds, he was a whole heck of a lot better. Basically, he looked like Julio usually looks. So,
well, yeah, you're probably happy as a pig in shit. Yeah, it's the Reds. How are the Reds doing this season? They suck. Oh, good.
Man.
Yeah, or in his vernacular, muy bueno.
I would say the Reds, I mean, it seems like they've gone full rebuild, and I would say that there would be some pieces that they can trade at the trade deadline to get some more prospects, but they don't have anything other than Joey Votto. I mean,
and Joey, anything Votto's getting kind of old. He's pushing 40, if he's...
Yeah.
He's got to be.
And that's the sad part about it. He's probably the only guy that has any value, and he's almost 40. So, yeah, the Reds, they're bad. But, yeah, I'm sure Julio Urias was very happy to see a Reds lineup. Plus, he was pitching at home, too, so he wasn't pitching at Coors Field, so that worked out. So, now, basically, we will find out who Julio Urias is going to be this year, since he's going against the Padres. At a what should be a very emotionally charged Petco Park, sellout crowd every night. So,
and I'm sure it will be, and a lot more Padres fans there than usual when we have a Dodgers game. I think, you know, I'm just predicting based on the amount of people we've had for the 3 games against the Reds. We're pretty good for weeknight games. What, 31,000 2 nights in a row, 29,000 today. That's not bad for a weekday Padres game. But we'll see Friday what happens. And you'll see who this kid is. You know, does he still have the stuff he's had? Was he just lucky, you know, that he was playing the Reds and it turned out okay? Now, for us, you know, we want him to suck, obviously.
Of course.
I'm not sure. I have to look and see who we have pitching for us. I think it's... I'm not sure.
You have on Friday night, it's Urias against Nick Martinez.
Martinez, yeah, he's next up. And then we start with Yu Darvish, and it's going to be an interesting matchup on Sunday with the new guy we have and Kershaw.
Yes. Yes, I was looking at that. Our Saturday starter is TBD. I heard TBD is a stud, though. He throws 95.
Yeah, TBD. He gets around a lot of teams, you know, TBD.
You know, it's just a running joke that me and my friends have. TBD, I heard that guy's a stud, though. He probably throws 95.
Yeah.
But I can probably tell you who TBD will be for the Dodgers. It's probably going to be former Rockies legend. I joke about that, too. Tyler Anderson. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's going to be taking Andrew Heaney's start on Saturday, so... I'm pretty sure that's where Dave Robertson's gonna go, or we might use an opener. You know how baseball is these days with the whole opener thing and all. But I think it's gonna be Tyler Anderson, but don't quote me on that. So,
well, that's it. You're glad probably to see Atlanta go, because even though the Dodgers beat them today 5-1, still, you know, it's the returning current reigning world champions.
Oh yeah,
and playing against them, it was a challenge, and so I guess good for Gonsolin today, who pitched for the Dodgers and gave you guys the win. Because it's not easy against the Braves. I watched that during four games, and you know the first one was a blowout, though. We beat them 12-1.
Yeah,
which I was glad about, and it was our opening day at home and everything. So you always want to win, you know, when you have your opening day at home.
So that's pretty good. Way to start off the home slate. Absolutely.
But I bet you, what was the point of that? Oh, yeah, you guys are probably glad to see a team like the Braves go away. And right now, you know, Dodger fans around the country are salivating now. Oh, boy, we're going to play the Padres. We can beat the Padres, yeah, with their BLA bullshit. We can beat them. But thing is, you know, like I said at the beginning of the program, I've not seen a group of Padres players for a number of seasons that I feel like are ready to take on a team like the Dodgers and be fairly evenly matched, because we have the pitching, we have the bullpen, we have a great closer now. We have the guys hitting not just to get up there and swing and hit themselves in the ass with the bat trying to hit a home run all the time, but they're going up there getting timely hits. They're playing small ball, and a lot of that's due to the new manager that we have. We have somebody that's actually had experience. The other people that we had before that, their only experience was working with A.J. Preller in Texas. So it was like, hey, you're my friend. I need a manager. Who's? Oh, Tingler. Yeah, I worked with that guy. We'll try him out. You know, Andy Green. Yeah, I worked with you too. Come on in. It's Friends Week here, and we're hiring friends. So... Oh, there goes the ambulance. It's coming for me. No, seriously.
See what happens when you start talking about Jace Tingler?
This Andy Green, that happens. My heart starts making murmurs and shit like that. Yeah. But the point of that was with our new manager, Bob Melvin, somebody with good experience, I think he's teaching these younger players how to play baseball the right way. And they seem to be enjoying it. They seem to be enjoying manufacturing runs. And don't get me wrong, home runs are great too. If you get a hold of a good pitch, hit it the hell out of the park. You know, we had a few of them today that went out. And, you know, that's always fun. But it's, for me, it's a lot more fun to watch a game where you get a few guys on base and you move them around on the base and bat some of the runners in scoring position home. That makes it a more interesting game for me. A lot of people differ from me, though. They like the pitchers' duels where it's, you know, the score is 0-0 up until the eighth inning and stuff, and it's a pitcher's duel. Oh, I like that. It's a pitcher's duel. Well, I think that's boring as shit. So,
right. I'm going to say something about Bob Melvin. I'll get to him in a second. I wanted to ask you this, just because I have known you for a little while now. Which manager did you hate more, Jace Tingler or Andy Green?
Andy Green. That dumb bastard. Unbelievable. Some of the things he did. My God, he made me stroke out. He did.
The ambulance in the background there.
Yeah. But it's funny. I always tell people this, though. You know, when I was doing that kind of bit, and it was a bit for our morning radio show, Ben and Woods. Mm-hmm. And the premise was that I would call in this answering machine they have after every time we had lost. And I would run my mouth and rage on for a little bit. So that was what the audience was told, the listening audience. What really happened was I'd have to get up at 4:30 in the morning and wait for Paul, the executive producer, to call me and say 1, 2, 3, and then I would go on with my thing, and then they'd play it on the air. And since then, you know, I don't do anything with them anymore. It's a long story that I really should tell, because I promised I was going to tell it last season, but I didn't. But bottom line is the character became unfunny because too many things were going right with Jace Tingler. So there was nothing for me to bitch about. There was nothing for me to make a video about screaming and yelling. So, you know, for the most part, Tingler did okay for a novice manager. But the thing with him and Andy Green, and even Bud Black to a certain extent, although he's had more success with the Rockies, but with Green and Tingler, they were nice men. And I think I talked about it on last week's program or the week before. Well, wait a minute. There was none last week. the first one this season, I talked about how you can't be a manager of somebody and be their friends. And I think Tingler and Andy Green tried to be friends with too many of the players, and it just didn't work. And at one point last season, after the break, I think Tingler lost the clubhouse, and that's why you saw the Padres dive bomb.
Oh, 100%. I fully agree with you 100% on that one, because they tuned him out, and they dive bombed.
Yeah, completely. And if anybody missed the program last time, the first one of this season, you might hear in the background a little cat going meow. That's Nikki. Come say hi, Nikki. There you go. But she's very opinionated, so she might add her two cents in as we go along. Now, I just didn't want you to think I was, you know, turning into an animal or something. I'm morphing into a kitty cat. Meow.
She probably didn't like Jay Singler either, but... But on to Bob Melvin, and obviously living up here in the Sacramento area, he was the manager for the A's for quite a few years and had some very successful teams. You know, he's a very good manager. I felt bad for him at times when he was in Oakland because, you know, it seemed like every 3 years they would trade away guys because they think that they couldn't afford them. So they would, you know, try to rebuild. And then, but Bob Melvin always got the most out of what he had there in Oakland. And they had a pretty successful run there. And then finally the A's really decided to try to tear it down all the way to the studs this offseason. They actually literally traded half their team. Literally.
Wow.
That actually happened. Yeah. That actually happened. And then obviously him and the organization had a mutual parting of the ways. You guys had an opening there. He took the opening. And I will tell you this with Bob Melvin. The talent that you have on your team right now is more talent than he ever had in Oakland. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. And I will stand up and argue with anybody who wants to argue with me. Any different. The talent we have is really, really good. The thing they needed a manager like Melvin to guide them, to say, you know, look, I know you're a home run hitter. I know you like swatting at balls, but you need to stop that. You know, when we have somebody on base, go back to it, you know, back to elementary baseball. What do you try to do? You get the timely hit. You get the single, right. You get the double, you move the runners, and that's how successful teams make it to the playoffs. That's how teams like the Dodgers stay up on top, because the Dodgers can do that sort of thing. And don't be telling me on Twitter, once again, Friar Phil's a Dodger lover. He's saying he loves the Dodgers, and, you know, and he said this and that. You piss off. Yeah, in advance if you're going to say that. Because it's the truth.
I've seen it on there, too.
Well, it's the truth. The Dodgers wouldn't be in the position they're in if they didn't play smart baseball, which includes home runs, which includes batting runners and scoring position at home. And I assume they're all still doing that. And that's going well for the Dodgers.
Yeah, as of right now, they're not relying on the home run ball, at least not in the early part of this season. I think they're actually like middle of the pack in the National League in home runs, but they lead the National League in runs scored. So they've been getting guys on base, and you know, they actually lead the National League in stolen bases right now, so they've been stealing bases, which I think is probably we've actually been wanting that to happen. But this year, when you have Mookie Betts and Trey Turner and a healthy Cody Bellinger,
mm-hmm.
they're starting to run more. Cody Bellinger is looking like his old self this year so far. Because last year he was absolutely miserable. You probably could have made the argument that he was probably the worst hitter in the National League last year. Or even in baseball. He was bad. He hit 165.
Wow. That wasn't good.
He hit well in the postseason. So it gave us all hope that maybe it was because he actually had a broken ankle last year and was out like 2.5 months. He also had a hamstring injury. So, I mean, injuries play a little part in it. But yeah, his swing looked like an unfolded lawn chair last year. It was really bad. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's like you go from winning the National League MVP in 2019 to batting 165 2 years later. You know, it was just, yeah, it was And you could tell that it was, You could tell it was definitely rough on Cody. And like every time I saw him go up to the plate, it just looked like he was just hoping he would just get on base or something like that instead of actually like having a plan up there. He just looked lost.
Oh, that's but why he did, because I noticed that too when we would play him, or I'd watch some of the highlights online after the games. He looked like he was lost, and he looked like he was going up there last year and saying, "Oh shit, I've got to do this again."
Yeah, please
somebody please hit me with a ball so I can walk.
Yeah, exactly. Please throw four balls out of the strike zone, like really wide, so I don't even think about swinging, you know. So, and basically we're like on Twitter, like everybody was just basically calling him the automatic out. So last year we had the pitcher hit. Usually that's the automatic out. So we had two automatic out slots in our lineup last year. So,
That's fixed this year, though, huh?
Yeah, that's fixed this year with the universal DH. And then Cody Bellinger looked a whole hell of a lot better this year. So, and it also helps that he is healthy.
So we have to watch out for Bellinger. And the other thing that's new then, I guess, is the running game. Stealing bases, something the Padres will have to be aware of. And Nola or our backup catcher will have to be paying close attention to that and working on sending that ball to second base so they can accurately throw people out.
Yes, and it's mostly been Cody Bellinger and Trey Turner stealing the bases. Mookie's had a couple, but it's mainly been Trey Turner and Cody Bellinger. And so basically Dave Roberts like, oh, why not? I'll just go ahead and turn these guys loose because, you know, Trey Turner might be the fastest guy in the National League. If he's not, he's in the top five as far as speed is concerned. But yeah, they haven't been relying on the home run ball this year. They've been putting the ball in play, you know, moving guys around, taking their walks, hitting sac flies. So they've been playing pretty good baseball offensively. They actually have the most innings with five or more runs in baseball right now. So they can, you know, the first three innings of the game not do anything, and then you get to the fourth inning, and they can explode for a five spot, which they have. I think watch out for the fourth inning when you do watch. That's usually the inning that they explode on. So if they do explode.
Hear that, Padres? Fourth inning. Fourth inning. So everybody out there with your juju and your mojo stuff and stuff like that, when they come up in the fourth inning, you know, start rattling your beads or whatever it is you have to make things stop or happen and fuck them up.
We also have a new closer on our team this year. Someone that Padres fans from 2015 might remember, Craig Kimbrell.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And he was on the Padres team when Preller was first there, and he got him, and he got Matt Kemp and Justin Upton and Will Middlebrooks.
Good old happy Matt Kemp. He was sure happy to be a Padre, wasn't he?
Former Padre legend Matt Kemp. Yeah, he was thrilled. You know, and the funny thing is with Matt Kemp, you know, obviously he was a Dodger. He had two different stints with the Dodgers. And we had the young explosive Kemp, and then we had the end of his career back Kemp, which the funny thing is he ended up making an all-star team in 2018. So I don't, like, that came completely out of the blue, and he actually in 2018 like kept us afloat. We were struggling really badly.
Actually got caught cheating. And the bad part about it is the Red about that. And honestly, if the game was, if the series was played on the level, I mean, we would have lost to Boston anyway. That team was loaded.
So, we're having a bit of audio problem right now, and but I think I figured out the audio problem. I hit speaker on the phone, so if you all of a sudden don't hear Nick very clearly or loudly, it was the microphone picking up the speaker on the phone, but all's well now here in Friar Phil land. So,
well, we could blame it on the cat. So
yeah, well, no, she's a good girl. She's in her room taking her nap after she ate, doing kitty things. But she's a good girl. She's 13 years old. And we adopted her last September from the Humane Society. And I encourage people, if you're looking for a pet and you want a real good housebroken pet, get a senior cat or a senior dog. You know, you might run into a little expense if they get sick later on. You know, you might not have them forever, but the senior pets are the ones that are first to be anesthetized. Mm-hmm. Anesthetized, what am I saying?
I think the word is euthanized.
Euthanized. My brain just euthanized itself. They're the first ones to be euthanized. So that's why, you know, we like adopting the senior pets. All right, that's the end of that public service announcement. Back to baseball. I think we've got a pretty damn good chance of winning at least one game against the Dodgers this weekend, and maybe two, because we've got the home momentum. We've got the crowds that are going to be out there. Like I said, I think it'll be more of a Padres crowd, maybe 70% Padres, 30% Dodgers fans out there for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday games. Because the fans in San Diego have been turning out, and they've been supporting this team, even when we sucked in the beginning of the year against Arizona, of all teams. You know, that's another one that's in the cellar that's very beatable, but for some reason we couldn't manage to do that. But people are coming out, they're supporting this team, and I think the guys having the support of the fans in the stands will make a big difference, too. I just don't know how they did it with the cardboard people in the stands. I would have found it hard to play, you know, and get motivated and excited, you know, about the game if I'm looking over my shoulder and I see a cardboard cutout of the Pope.
You know, that which leads me to this, because being a Dodger fan, I hear it on Twitter and I hear it from Giants fans around here that the Dodgers won it all in 2020, but it doesn't count because it was a 60-game season. I was like, the hell it doesn't. You try go playing baseball in front of no fans and have to bring your own energy every day. Honestly, in my opinion, I think it was harder.
Well, yeah. It had to be hard. I mean, how do you get, like I just said, how do you get excited playing the game with cardboard sitting in the freaking stands? You can't. You know, so for anybody to say it didn't count, it counted. You know, that was the amount of games we had that season. The season counted according to Major League Baseball. So as long as that season counted according to Major League Baseball, then the winner of the World Series that year was justified and should be looked at as the winners and not given asterisks, you know, by their name in the record books.
Right,
but that's just my opinion. There goes Friar Phil again, the Dodger lover.
And the Dodgers that year went 43-17, And if you prorate that, if it would have been a full season, and granted, things happen during a full season that you can't account for or anything like that, but
right.
if you prorate that to a full season, that would have been a 116-win season. And trust me, that 2020 team, that was our best team. I would have loved to have played a full season with that team. But the powers to be did not allow that to happen. I mean, honestly, the way I look at it is we were lucky that there was even a season at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion about it. And then also, to not be forgotten in the 2020 baseball season, was the return of postseason baseball to San Diego. And you could look at that. Yeah, they didn't make the postseason last year, but hey, sometimes that happens. But 2020 was the year that the Padres returned to the national scene. So you can look at it that you can look at that year as the start of something that I think could be really good for the Padres organization and the city of San Diego.
Well, yeah, because the Padres are always the bastard child of the of the goddamn Dodgers. You know, I always called them the bastard child. You know, something we don't really talk about that much. You know, and it used to be, you know, sportscasters or national sportscasters. You know, if they had to mention the Padres, they'll mention, okay, well, the Padres beat the Phillies 6-3. And in other news, you know, so in other words, they didn't really have much to say. But then Tatis came along and opened up that whole whirlwind of press and national attention and people around the country discovered that, yeah, wow, there is a city close to Mexico, but it's still in the United States, called San Diego. And what do you know? They've got a ball team there, a major league ball team. We should pay attention to that, huh?
And look, they've got funny.
They're exciting and fun to watch, and they've got funny colors, brown and gold. And actually, technically, the colors are chocolate brown and mustard yellow. Those are the exact colors of the uniforms. But yeah, all that opened up the floodgates, and fortunately, now we have better opportunities to be recognized by national media. The game on Sunday was a national TV game, and fortunately we beat the Braves in that one, so we didn't look terrible on national TV. But I'm glad about it. I'm kind of pissed off with Tatis, though, with what he did on the off season and how he injured himself.
Yeah.
And how that could have affected this team. And you
it could have.
But you can see on his face, you know, he doesn't have the smile, and he doesn't joke around as much in the dugout and stuff now. And it's not because he injured himself. It's because I think there's a little jealousy there, seeing how good C.J. Abrams is doing and how good Ha-Sung Kim is doing, playing shortstop. So it's like, yeah, you're replaceable. And I'm sure there's stuff written in his contract, you know, if he really fucks up and hurts himself, you know, during the off season, there's got to be things in there that can break that contract. And I'm not saying don't panic, everybody. I'm not saying they should void his contract. But I think, you know, he should have had a little bit more respect for the team, for the fans, for the ownership, who's given him this 14-year contract, not to get on those goddamn death machines.
Right, right. Yeah. He's had a pretty tough last, I want to say, since like September last year, because if you recall, he had the dugout incident with Machado.
Right.
Where, you know, Machado was basically telling him that, you know, you're not above the team, and, you know, in a little more words than that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you know, they got into it. And then, of course, you know, going to the off season after, you know, what, you know, San Diego fans would consider a disappointing year, and you know, rightfully so, because of the expectations and everything like that. And it just didn't turn out the way that, you know, people thought it was going to go. I mean, injuries play a part in that, because, I mean, obviously, you know, with the Padres last year, their starting rotation was just racked with injuries. So, and that can mess up a season real quick. But, you know, with things, you know, spiraling out of control, you know, with Tatis and Machado going at it, and then, you know, everybody tuning out Tingler, you know, it didn't work out. But I can guarantee you this, whenever Tatis gets on the field, I want to say roughly about June, I want to say.
Yeah.
And he starts, you know, making plays out in the field, and he starts hitting homers. That smile will come back, and I think he's going to appreciate this a lot more.
I hope so.
Not saying that he didn't before, because I would never say that, because the guy, you know, looked like he enjoyed playing baseball. He was hurt last year, you know, and having to play through a shoulder injury, which, you know, it couldn't have been easy on him, you know. But I think once he gets healthy and he's out there and he's making plays and he's being the Fernando Tatis Jr. of old, you'll see that smile come back. And right now, I think it's probably good for him, because he's seeing that they are playing well without him, that he's not the team, and that Manny Machado is more than capable of taking on a leadership role and being the lead dog on the team. You know, Manny Machado is having a fine season so far this year. I mean, what has he got, 4 homers right now?
Oh, yeah. And he usually starts off slow, but he's starting off really good season.
He knew, because Tatis wasn't going to be there, that he had to come out of the gate strong. So he knew. And then you have starting pitching this year. You know, and when you guys got Sean Manaea, I was like, oh God, are you serious? Really? Because Manaea played for Melvin in Oakland, and Manaea had been pretty good in Oakland. But it looks like he's taking it up to a whole other level.
That's why I said the Sunday matchup should be interesting, with Manaea and Kershaw going at it. It should be a fabulous game, I think.
You know, Kershaw's gotten off to a strong start this year too. I mean, he got pulled from a perfect game in the seventh inning because, well, pitch count and short spring. He's coming off an arm injury, which honestly, I'll be honest with you, Phil. I thought I saw the last of him last year. He came off the field in his last start, last weekend of the regular season, with forearm discomfort, issue. Dave Roberts actually gave him the ball as he was walking off the mound. Like, I was like, am I seeing what I'm seeing right now? Seeing the last?
Is this really the end?
I was like, he gave him the ball. Did I just see what I just saw?
You have to adjust your eyes.
Yeah, and so I thought that was it. And then they found out he didn't need surgery, but he didn't pitch in the postseason. And then we signed him to a one-year deal right before the truncated spring training schedule started. And so far, he's looked pretty good. And I know it's a long season, and I know the back injury that usually sidelines him for about a month every year is inevitable, and that'll pop up sometime. But it's like clockwork. It's usually around like late May.
Hopefully so. Sunday he won't be feeling too good.
Well, hopefully he won't get injured in the middle of the start, or you know.
Well, yeah, that would suck
right before it. You know,
yeah, so. That wouldn't be good.
But no, I think, honestly, with looking at the pitching matchups this weekend, and me being the diehard, loyal Dodger fan that I am, I think it's going to be tough for us. I think it's going to be tough for us this weekend. We're going to have to score some runs. You know, Darvish, we usually don't do well against him. And Manaea, majority of our guys don't have any history against. So, same thing with Martinez. None of us have any history against Martinez either.
So, in other words, Dodger fans, the Padres are not going to be a cakewalk this season, or at least for this series. All right, that out of time. That hour went quick, didn't it?
It really did.
That's what happened. It really did. But thanks for coming on and talking about the Dodgers, the dreaded Dodgers that we're playing this weekend. And I'm sure I'll talk to you more during the season as well when the next series comes up and see what's happening with the boys in blue. And I can let you know what's happening in the boys of brown and gold department.
Hey, brown and gold sounds better than chocolate brown and mustard yellow.
Yes, it does. All right, good talking to you. Take it
easy. Love to do this again sometime this year.
So. Okay, we will. We will. Always a good time talking to Nick about his Dodgers and getting some of that inside information going on so we Padres fans kind of know what to expect from the Dodgers this weekend. All right, going to leave you with some California love. Until next time, take care of yourself. Be very, very safe because the COVID is not totally gone. And by all means, watch your back.
The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Like a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass him be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp speed. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamond shining, looking like I'm Rob Liberace. It's all good from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pain. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California.